and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, baby, is it ever. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller, or Friday.
Oh, yes. Good
morning, guys.
Chastity Bono has finally completed gender reassignment surgery.
Oh, thank God.
I probably shouldn't have sent a telegram saying, you go, girl.
That was a faux pas.
That was.
She once crushed all the bones in my hand during a handshake, and that's when I first thought that perhaps.
Mine too.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has a sturdy handshake.
She back then.
Yes, it was she back then.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, now we're all hoping Chaz joins the Democratic Party so she can teach them how to be a man.
Exactly. Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Good morning, Steph Miller. How are you?
I'm a little discombobulated. I went out last night.
What? What happened? Did you lose a bet?
I was wondering why you looked a little haggard.
Well, hello.
She was out past 7:30.
Yeah. Yes.
You're lucky you didn't break a hip.
Well, you know... I can get this crap from them, John Fugelsang. I don't need to import people to give me crap.
I do import people because I just came back from L.A., right.
I know.
You're importing me.
The world's all cattywampus. Normally, John Fugelsang, of course, here in the New York studio with me. He's been in L.A. all week, and now he's back.
I flew in just for you.
Thank you. Anyway, so I was out. Well, you know why, Chris? Because I do it for the children.
For Betty's children.
Yes. My friend Allison from the official girl group of the Stephanie Miller Show, Betty.
Of course. We love Betty.
Yes. They had a fundraiser for her kid's school last night. Little Miss. Little Mish. Something.
Little what?
Something where the kids go.
Little Michigas.
It is not called Little Michigas.
It's
a school here.
Is this one of those Manhattan schools where it has a waiting list like, you know, 8 years long?
I don't know.
Probably.
I have not reproduced. How would I have this information?
Or you have to be in Betty, you know.
Yeah, you
all
have to
I know
be in Betty to get into the school.
It's a place where children go. Pardon?
You have to be in Betty to get into the school.
No, you do not. Anyway, but it was fabulous. It really was. Betty performed. Kate Pearson from the B-52s, who was awesome. Susie Mosier, who's like the funniest woman alive from hair. She's from Hairspray.
Yeah, you got cool people.
Fabulous singer and whatever. And Leslie Gore.
No.
Yes. She sang The Party.
No.
She sang the You Don't Own Me. Oh. She sounds great.
Does she still sound
exactly
like this?
Like this still.
Really?
Yeah. She had fabulous backup singers. It was a good time was had by all.
This is some school.
Yeah.
I'm guessing
this
private.
This doesn't happen every day.
I'm guessing private?
It was a fundraiser.
Private, yeah. It's a private school.
It's a nursery school or something. It's
wow.
For little people, when they're small.
For little people.
Yeah, my public school fundraiser had the guy who sold Whippets to Danny Bonaducci. That's what came to mind. So.
I know so little about kids. Remember, Chris, our head of our affiliate sales, I was trying to buy a sweatshirt or something on one of my affiliate trips for her little girl, and I literally had to go to the counter. I'm like, she's my friend's, it's three. How tall is it? Does it stand? How big? I had no idea, like, what size to buy.
At least you didn't go
I'm like, I literally, the woman looked at me like I had three heads. I said, do they walk? What, how will, I don't know.
Well, weren't you in a hardware store one time trying to get a thing for a baby?
My friend May and I, we co-hosted my last canceled TV show here.
Yeah.
Neither of us have kids, and for a co-host, we had to buy a baby present.
In a hardware
store. And it was like the blind leading the blind. We were like, does a baby like an axe? What can you buy a baby?
Some caulking.
Yeah.
We don't. What do you buy a baby? How do you know?
Window treatments.
Some fight!
Does this diaper make her ass look big? I don't know.
Anyway, but Mama did it all for the children last night. It was fabulous. It was, and here's the other thing that happens when I get out of the house. Can I have my magical story music? John Fugel saying, I have a magical New York story.
You have a magical New York story?
I have to get out of the house more and ride the subway more.
As I've been telling you.
I know.
Well, I socialize.
When you first moved there, you took the subway every day. That ended. That ended quickly.
I need helpers when I go to the subway because I really still don't understand how it works.
Steph needs spotters.
I do. Anyway, so my magical spotter yesterday was Angel. He's an 18-year-old Hispanic gentleman, and we bonded on the, I think it was the B. B? Yeah, the B train.
That'll do.
People talk to each other on the subway.
Whether you
Angel
like it or
and
not.
I did, because I stand around looking helpless, and then generally some man helps me. And so he came to my rescue, and I let him use my Metro card.
So that's what we call an easy mark in the community.
Yes.
I paid for his ride because he was helping me get home. I was like, how do I, help me.
I'm surprised you weren't still
trying. I'm on the Lower East Side, help me. I don't know how to get out of here.
You weren't still trying to use tokens.
No, I have a Metro card. It's very exciting.
All right.
And so I used it, and then I gave it to him, and I let him use it, and then we bonded on the train. And he's 18, and he had dreams of being he's a really good baseball and basketball player, mm-hmm. and he's still hoping that, you know.
Well, then he better not go to Arizona
to
play that.
Yes, he lost both of his parents, and his grandmother's raising him, who has Alzheimer's, and.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
anyway.
Wonderful, and he's sleeping at your place right now.
Yes, and he's my new lover. That's not. Stop ruining you. You take everything beautiful and turn it into.
I was making it a
tender
romantic story.
Yeah.
About the guy you brought home last night.
It does not end up with me sleeping with him.
Well, kind of sounds like your type.
We bonded on the train and I
got his first name. I thought it was a good chance. Sorry.
Yeah. He sounds like your type, Stephanie.
It was a very beautiful ending. I gave him a big hug and I said, you keep on fighting the good fight. And he said, thank you. And we had a very New York cheerful subway moment. And then I almost got closed in the doors because it took too long to say goodbye. I was, ow! Okay.
This is why you have to live in New York City, Stephanie. Okay, L.A.'s more polite, yes, but New York is kinder, you know? If you fall down in the street in New York City, 20 guys of 20 different colors and races and origins are going to come to help you out. If you fall in the street in L.A., traffic will slow to see if there's blood and some guy sells the rights.
That is not true,
that is
John
so true, Chris.
You're stereotyping
so true.
Los Angeles.
That's why there's gridlock in traffic. They're slowing down.
It's true.
Blood.
I do have to admit, Chris, in L.A. we slow down, but we don't really help. We just slow down to look.
Yeah.
Oh, that looks bad.
In New York, it's 20 different guys from different countries. I'll help you out, bro.
See, it would have been a weird story if it ended up with him mugging me. He hugged me, and he slipped my wallet out of my purse.
John Fugel saying, you are wrong. Remember, what was it, last week, that security camera caught that guy that had been stabbed, was lying on the sidewalk, and he died while people walked past him.
That's horrible. In New York, but I will say that New York gets a pass on that because this is the world capital of drunken guys sleeping on sidewalks.
Yes. I mean, you can't be expected to help all of them.
That was really tragic, but when I watched it, I understand, because you see guys passed out on the street all the time, and that fellow was lying face down. It was very, very tragic, but it's one of the symptoms of poverty is that sort of thing happens.
You're making Manhattan sound so attractive.
Well, if you got stabbed, I'm sure they stop for you.
It's glamorous. It's glamorous, and it's wonderful.
With guns like you've got, Chris, if you got stabbed, you'd have plenty of guys stopping to help you out, and plenty of ladies are stopping to help
that.
You out. Yes, you would.
That.
You'd be the most attractive wounded person on the side.
The most attractive corpse on the sidewalk.
All right. So, anyway, lots to get to today. Christian Weller, we will talk about that roller coaster ride in the Dow yesterday.
Oh, crap. Was
and
that
the new
weird.
Jobs numbers, which are good, and don't understand.
We added the added the most jobs in four years, yet the unemployment rate rose to 9.9.
Por qué?
Je ne sais pas.
Donde está? We will ask Christian Weller.
And also, let's ask him about Greece. What's going on in Greece and how that's affecting us?
Yes.
Was it
is.
Really a typo? Was it really a typo when someone put a B instead of an M on millions that caused yesterday's panic?
Oh.
Yeah.
And also Joan Walsh, editor of Salon.com, whom we love, will also be joining us on the big show today. I guess the really shocking breaking news this morning, Chris, is it turns out this George Wreckers, the... religious right
founder of
that focus on the family,
yeah,
anti-gay guy.
Yep.
As it
turns
out, he's gay. I don't what.
I wouldn't.
When
say
does that,
that
ever happen? I don't.
He's still denying it on his website, though.
Yes.
Oh, is he?
Yes, he is.
Rentboy.com? Or no, his own website.
No, his own website.
Steph,
that'd be funny if he went to Rentboy.com to deny it.
You're only gay if you're on the bottom. Haven't you heard that?
That's right.
Now come on, fella goes to Twinks RS one or two times and suddenly he's gay. I hate the gays. I just dip my toe in the pool now and then.
Could I have some music, Chrissy? Rick, what's his name? Wreckers. George Wreckers?
Yes.
George Wreckers. George Wreckers, rent boy. If you'll recall the story, he had surgery, and he can't carry his own luggage. So he went to rentboy.com.
Because that's where you go to get porters.
Said, yes, carry your tea bags. Bags. Hey. Your bags. Carry your bags. And so... He went on a vacation with the said rent boy.
With the smooth rent boy. There's so little in his description we're allowed to say on the air from his personal evidence.
Yes, he is. Well, I'm getting to that. Let's see here. So he's cute. Oh, Lucian is his name, the rent boy.
That's the name they're using for him.
The male escort. Oh, okay. The male escort, that's his rent boy name.
It is. He's 20, which is actually 26 in rent boy years.
The male escort hired by anti-gay activist George Allen Reckers has told the Miami New Times that the Baptist minister is a homosexual who paid him to provide body rubs once a day in the nude. As you do when you've had surgery and you've been injured and you can't carry your own luggage. Oh. How else do you get massages? You get massages.
What are you
going
to do? Hire a guy overseas in the hotel you go to give you a massage? No.
Where did
bring your masseur with you.
Where did he want to get these massages, Stephanie? What part of his body?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant in what, hot Latin country. Oh, you mean in what?
What part of his body did he want these massages, Stephanie?
Well, funny you should ask. I'm getting to that. You two are slowing me up.
Sorry.
Story. During their 10-day vacation in Europe, Reckers allegedly named his favorite maneuver the long stroke.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
A conflict. You know what? And this, it was just the logistics of this I couldn't figure out. It's a complicated caress across his, thigh and his,
I call
his,
it the long stroke because you got a swimmer's body.
And his hole.
Mm.
How do you do that? How can you get the, the and the thigh and the hole at the same time?
Wait till we're off the air.
With one stroke. You don't touch them all at the same time, but in one stroke you get all three.
Are you on your back or your front? How do you get all?
How about your
you
side?
Get the front and the back. Oh.
I'm a thinker.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Someone knows what the long stroke is. And over the butt cheeks at the same time, as Lucian puts it. Wreckers like to be rubbed down there, he says, in that air area. In any other area.
Well, how's he going to carry his baggage?
Any other area.
You know, it's interesting. As you know, I got in a bike accident and then I hurt myself running.
Mm-hmm.
And so last weekend, I got a massage and I did not even think to ask for the long stroke.
Well, now you know.
I focused on the rotator cuff and the things that were actually injured. And I went to a place where they actually, they do, massage.
Yes.
Pretty much. And that's it.
Well, a sports medicine massage.
If I'd known I could get the long stroke, I would have asked.
You don't have the necessary equipment to get a long stroke, Stephanie.
Oh, that's true. Well, I have whatever. All right.
If you'd only gone to twinksrs.com, you'd know these things. I think it's kind of great that the guy who started Family Research Council has to hire a rent boy to call him daddy.
Yeah.
All right. Julie has sent us a list of the top 10 outed right-wing homophobes. Just to review, just for educational, historical purposes. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Can you absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. 24 minutes after the hour. Matt in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Matt.
Hi. I just want to ask you if you told that kid on the train who you were.
Oh, like, who am I? Like he would care.
I have a radio show and...
Oh, no.
And if not, what the odds would be that he would hear the story on the... No.
Probably yeah, I
didn't listen to...
I don't think...
He's into the podcast.
On the radio.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a podcast.
He's a podcast.
Yeah,
he's 18. Come on, he gets the podcast.
You should have just said to him...
Who do you think you're talking to?
I'm sure he would have been so impressed. I just love the notion that I'm sitting on a train going, do you know who I am?
Don't you know who I used to be?
Yeah, that's my usual line. Don't you know who I used to be? All right. Might I have some music in the wake of the shocking news this morning that George Reckers, the religious right-wing homophobe, is...
Gulp.
Mm-hmm. Even though he's still denying it on his website.
Is he?
Yes, he is. So I think.
What does he love? Did he say he loves Larry Craig's wife, or what? Wow. What did the denial involve? What did he say?
He wants to marry Star Jones.
Basically, he's sticking with the story that he just hired this man to help him with his luggage.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh.
Yeah.
And he went to a gay website for that. Why?
He said that his staff went out and hired this fellow.
See, that's what happens. He let his staff do his thinking for him.
I see. Oh, so it was just an office screw up.
He's throwing his staff under the bus, basically.
Mm. Yeah. Well. I see. Uh huh. Yeah, because he said he only found out he was a male prostitute halfway through the vacation.
Right.
Oh.
He didn't cancel it or anything or come home. I mean, he was shocked.
Or didn't
shocked, hire. I tell you, and disgusted. But he was able to somehow slog through the rest of the vacation, continuing to receive naked
to minister
butt rubs.
That's what he gets for letting his staff lead him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Some of these I'd forgotten,
beautiful.
Chris. Yes, these are the top 10 outed right-wing homophobes. Let's see, number 10, Richard Curtis. You remember Dick.
Mm.
Republican member of the Washington State House of Representatives. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Voted against domestic partnerships, voted against a bill prohibiting sexual orientation discrimination in a workplace.
Yeah.
How gay is he? Had sex with a gay male porn star. Oh, and he was wearing lingerie under his clothing. That was that particular story.
Mm.
Bob Allen, you remember him, a Republican member of the Florida House of Representatives.
Loved him.
Supported the ban on same-sex couples adopting children.
They shouldn't be allowed near children.
No.
They're horrible people.
He was the guy that offered $20 to a male undercover cop in exchange for letting him perform fellatio on him.
Oh.
And I'm like, that is not a fiscal conservative.
No.
What?
He's giving it away.
$20 for him to do it? No.
Computer says no.
Somebody I want handling my money. Okay. Glenn Murphy Jr., you remember him, Chris, chairman of the Young Republican National Federation.
Is this the one in Indiana? This is my favorite, if it is.
I think so, yes.
Glenn is a cool one.
He got another young Republican drunk and performed a fellatio on him while he was asleep.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Woke up and
see, I think we should campaign on that. As Democrats, we have at least the people we have sex with are conscious.
Right.
Exactly.
See? That's a ring to it.
That's my favorite one of all time.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I find the whole thing hard to swallow.
woke up and his was in his mouth.
That happens. That excuse was, it was a, you know, like a...
That got me. It got me out of the Coast Guard. Just happens.
Sometimes you trip and fall, and you're like, "Oh, what's that in my mouth?" Roy Ashburn, number 7.
Ashburn.
Pardon me?
Ashburn.
Oh, pardon me. Republican California State Senator voted against a day honoring Harvey Milk, voted against expanding anti-discrimination laws, voted against gay marriage. He was the one caught drunk driving with a male lover in the car, and then he came out of the closet after that, so he's like, you got me.
He's actually gay then. The rest of these guys are timeshares.
Yes.
Okay.
29 minutes after the hour, we will be back with the rest of our list and Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The Pleasure Patch, Satan's Triangle. The one place in town no cameras can see you and no laws can touch you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We are in the midst of Fridays with Fugelsang.
As you like it or not.
And we have John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours. Oh, a little bit of breaking news on the George Wrecker.
Yes.
The religious right, anti-gay, homophobe who hired a rent boy.
Yes.
To carry his luggage. Mm-hmm. In the Miami New Times, interviewed the said rent boy.
Yes.
Who says that Records is a homosexual.
Spit it out.
you have some breaking news.
Yes, breaking news according to the Daily Beast.
Well, wait a minute. Oh. Chris has the first breaking news that he's suing the Miami New Times.
He's threatening to sue the Miami New Times for defamation.
Oh.
Well, only if you do it right.
And some breaking news here in the New York Bureau from John Beaglesang.
Yes, it turns out that he spent all day Thursday trying to convince his luggage assistant to keep quiet on their relationship. Unfortunately for Wrecker, the entire conversation was recorded by the Miami New Times.
Oh, dear.
Next to escort Lucien, a pseudonym, by speakerphone. In other words, Rent Boy had the phone on speaker, and the paper recorded the entire conversation of Wrecker begging him to lie.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, as my mother would say.
Crying on the inside.
All right, which brings us back to our list. Julie sent us top 10 homophobes that have been previously outed. Let's see. Speaking of recordings, Edward Schrock, remember him?
Ed
Virginia
Schrock
Congressman
from Virginia,
Republican?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm.
He supported asking military recruits about their sexual orientation in order to bar gay soldiers. He was the one caught on tape soliciting sex from a male prostitute.
We actually still have that tape in our files.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
400 pounds, hazel-eyed blonde hair, really buffed up, really tanned. I'm just looking to get together with any white guy who's got a great body on him, get together and get naked, play with one another. Nothing hardcore. Incredibly careful. Incredibly safe, incredibly discreet. If that appeals to you, I'd like to hear from you. So
hit
me back. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, nothing hardcore, guys. I'm straight.
Hold back. Nothing really gay. Just a kind of medium stuff. Okay.
I'm just going waist deep into the pool, guys.
Larry Craig, I don't need we even cover Larry Craig. I think we know that. Mark Foley, need we
well,
even cover.
Well, to Larry Craig's credit, the Republican Party forced him out of office right away. Oh, wait, no, they
oh,
didn't.
Oh, no, they didn't. No.
Let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
Okay, that guy.
Yeah.
Mark Foley, no, that guy. Ted Haggard.
Fabulous.
Hot.
Fabulous.
Well.
And now George Allen Wreckers, evangelist and junk scientist.
Yes.
Yes.
In fairness, Ted Haggard's morals weren't compromised because he was on meth the whole time. So let's point
that
out.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the meth doing it, not him.
It's the meth talking.
You know, I want to point out one other thing. None of these men are gay identified. They all are straight identified, and it's always the biggest homophobes who are the ones who will get with a guy if the mood's right. That's why we call them impulse buys.
Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go! Oh, heavens, Gretchen Carlson, she is... That is a, just, she's a think tank all in herself. She doesn't even need the other friends at Fox.
Oh.
So she's talking about, what's his name?
Franklin Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That upstanding citizen.
Yes, being disinvited to the Pentagon prayer service.
Two prayer events sponsored by the U.S. military and two cancellations on prominent Christian leaders. In recent weeks, Tony Perkins and Reverend Franklin Graham were both disinvited from speaking at prayer events led by the Air Force and the Army. These rejections have prompted an outcry from conservatives. It kind of reminds me, like, you're never half pregnant, kind of like you're not a half Christian. So if you're going to stand up and then talk about the religion, it's kind of hard to do it without saying certain words.
Oh, it's very easy.
Oh, like calling Islam evil?
Yeah.
A wicked evil religion.
Yeah,
it's hard not to do that.
That's full Christian. That's full Christian.
Yeah.
It's quite easy to be half Christian or even quarter Christian.
Oh, by the way, did you see he had his prayer service in the parking lot?
Yes, he did.
At the Pentagon Franklin Graham. He decided to stay in the Pentagon parking lot and pray with a small group after Pentagon officials told him he could not come in. When asked about his views on Islam, he stood by his previous inflammatory remarks and explained they're simply honest disagreements with Muslims.
You know, God bless the Pentagon. Seriously, God bless the U.S. military for being, A, the leading proponent of affirmative action in our country, and B, for sticking up for Islam here.
Mary Madeline on the, I see. This is a kind of a spin on the economy. See, Bill Clinton not responsible for anything good.
Right.
Barack Obama, it just skips the whole administrations
understand.
Are just skipped because his good economy, okay.
That economy that President Clinton enjoyed was the result of Reaganomics. And when we get back to Reaganomics, we will get out of the recession that we're in. And when we picked up from the Clinton administration, we had a recession. So we can keep going back all the way to the beginning of time, but every president has to deal with what he gets. And President Clinton was very lucky to have followed Reaganomics.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
And if you can understand that, the rapture will be kind to you.
Wow. That is quite a head-twisting retelling of history, isn't it?
Yes, it is. She's good at that, though.
Wait. So did Clinton have a good economy or a bad economy? I'm confused. Bush Jr. Inherited the Clinton-Gore recession, I'm guessing, is what she meant.
Right, and Clinton had a good economy thanks to the policies that were put in place by Reagan.
Right.
That's what she's saying.
Oh, he just inherited a good Reagan economy.
When Clinton raised taxes on the wealthy and cut government by 300,000 jobs, okay, and we got a huge surplus, that was Reagan doing that. When Reagan overspent and cut taxes on the wealthy, that recession was actually Jimmy Carter's fault.
I see.
Okay? Do you get it now?
Oh, okay, I understand.
Don't let the rapture pass you by.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so then Barack Obama, conversely, must have inherited the really good economy that George W. Bush left him.
Exactly. 700,000 jobs being lost a month was Barack Obama's gift, and he screwed that up. Do you get it now?
Now I understand.
Do you hate freedom still?
Okay. Yes, of course I do. Always have. Karl Rove on the Fox News he's trying for a comeback, is he, for the Republican Party?
Yeah.
Okay. We are trying to duplicate on the center right what the Democrats have done so successfully on the left, and that is create a number of institutions which can do more than just what the party organizations are allowed to do.
Doesn't Karl Rove kind of seem like if Darth Vader and Elmer Fudd had a child? He'd be, be thou we quiet. I'm wooing the Republican Party.
Doesn't it sound like he's kind of organizing his dirty tricks now? We're going to actually make it into an organization with the letterhead and stuff.
Biggest monthly job growth in 4 years. Thank you, Bush.
Yeah. Thank God for George W.
Thank
Bush.
God George W. Bush did all that stuff 2 years ago. That,
What?
Okay, Steve Hayes on the Brit Bear.
At the same time that the IMF and others are demanding that Greece move to privatize or at least spin off part of its state-run healthcare system in order to make it more efficient, liberalize the economy, we're moving in the opposite direction. I mean, there's a great irony there.
That's funny. Oh, I see.
So if
Europe's moving away from socialism and we're moving toward it because based on what?
What he's saying is that if we get any kind of, you know, public health care system whatsoever, we're going to end up with the same fate as Greece.
Oh!
Exactly. And all
of
our allies.
Now we're throwing the Greece thing around. Fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, except for the fact that the Congressional Budget Office said a public option would cut $130 billion off the deficit. Mm.
Drug out of gas bag, Rush Limbaugh on the New York City bomb.
The administration is trying to say they were on the case from moment one when they weren't. That really blind luck is all that enabled us to get hold of this guy for his bomb not to go off. This administration looks at all of this as an annoyance. They look at anything that gets in the way of advancing the transformation of American society and the transformation of our economy is simply an inconvenience to them.
Mm. Now, actually, we have a Muslim T-shirt vendor to thank.
Yes, exactly. I mentioned that yesterday. Yeah, nobody in the media really mentioned that.
And I want to say one thing. If I was the lawyer for this terror bomb suspect, if the guy just said I was trying to blow up MTV's corporate offices, no jury would convict.
Yeah.
That's why he's parked outside Viacom. Going to take out Snooki.
The Stephanie Miller Show does not.
We don't endorse
that
legal.
Sort of thing.
No, that's strictly a jest.
We can't control
John
people saying he's...
Just a fanciful jest, if you will. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by the way, didn't the boner say that yesterday too, Chris, that it's just luck?
Yeah, dumb luck.
Yeah, the Obama administration catching these guys, that's just dumb luck.
Well,
George Bush, it was that frightening competence that we all became so familiar with.
And then I love Nancy Pelosi's comeback. The harder we work to defeat terrorism, the luckier we get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of great that
dumb luck.
Took 53 hours to get this guy.
Yeah.
Where's Bin Laden? How long is that now?
I don't know. Clock's still ticking.
9 years?
Okay, Laura Ingram, in for O'Reilly.
Democrats see that a lot of the unskilled laborers coming across the border from Mexico, Central America, Bill, are going to be future Democratic voters. They tend to vote Democrat. Even President Bush, I don't believe he got the majority Latino vote in 2004. I don't think he did, okay? So for all his outreach to the Latino community, I'm not sure quite what he got for that. So the Democrats want their voters.
She's the only person who make me miss Bill O'Reilly.
She's the anti-agra.
Yeah. By the way, what do you call it? Immigration is actually, arrests and all that stuff is actually up under Obama compared to George Bush.
It's
actually tougher on enforcement. Pardon?
Buenos nachos, amigos. That's his outreach, was reading off the Espanol cue cards.
Donde están los enchilitos de mañana?
I miss the Spanglish. I miss the George W. Bush Spanglish.
Give me tomorrow's enchiladas.
Where are the enchiladas of tomorrow?
Oh.
Indeed. Where are they?
Es muy difícil putting comida en su familia.
No crossar la frontera, por favor.
Here's a tip for you. You might get more of the Hispanic vote if Bushes didn't refer to them as little brown ones. That might be something that might help in your outreach to the Hispanic
there
community.
Seeing those over there? Little brown ones? Those are the grandkids. Brown Bushes. Oh, sounds like Crawford and Summer.
45 minutes after the hour.
Jim's here.
Jim's here. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it 50 minutes after the hour. Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire, coming up to explain what the with the Dow and the job numbers and lots of economic news this morning.
That guy tried to explain the Dow to me, and I thought he was Buddhist.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the Dow, phone number, toll free from anywhere. Diane in Corpus Christi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello, Hi. Diane.
I just was calling because of something that Laura Ingraham said. She said, she tried to pronounce the word Latino, but she said Latino. And I was just going to say, well, maybe it's time for her to get to pronounce it correctly or not say it at all.
Everything sounds like that.
She speaks nasal. It's the international language.
I love how the people who really care about speaking English properly and think Ebonics would ruin the country voted for Bush.
Yeah.
Y'all got to learn to talk good.
All right. Speaking of Bush, the boy, oh boy, you know, a heck of a job brownie is not defined in the Urban Dictionary as applying generally to any situation where one wants to convey a complete and total screw up. What an asshat this guy is. Seriously. So he's been all over cable TV bashing the. I mean, it literally, like, you think it's a joke. You're like going, you're bashing someone else's response to a disaster?
He knows public policy, and he will stake his professional horse breeding career on it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He apparently just wants the publicity. He wants to sell his book and get clients for his company on disaster management. That's what his company does. What kind of moron do you have to go to his company for?
That's kind of like the Roman Polanski daycare center, isn't it?
Yeah.
He said, there's that phrase, any publicity is good publicity. I kind of buy into that. Yeah, so I guess
you do, yeah.
Katrina was like a, you know, that was like a gold mine for him.
Top of my
fantastic.
Resume. It's on my reel.
Yeah.
Why couldn't that guy get the job at BP?
He said on Fox News they played politics with this crisis and left the Coast Guard out there by themselves doing what they're supposed to do, which is a complete and total.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yes.
Yes, the Coast Guard caused the...
He went on Fox for the tough questions.
He told Chris Matthews this is an opportunity for a president who wants to bankrupt the coal industry and basically get rid of the oil and gas industry to shut down offshore drilling.
So he caused the mine collapse as well as the oil catastrophe.
Yes. Brown says he loves the back and forth. I like arguing with these guys. I was a debater in high school. I was a debater in college.
Oh, he didn't.
A master
didn't.
Debater. Yeah, that's
right. I have two main attributes. I tell like it, like I think it. Here's what I think it. If you don't like it, that's fine. I'm an idiot. Oh,
he's got one more attribute, too. Heck of a brown, Jobby.
You know, Chris, I have some fun facts from you'll never guess who. That right-wing tool we have on, Rich Galen.
Yes.
Republican strategist, whatever his title is.
He's actually nice. I like him.
He's a nice guy. Anyway.
Yeah, he's a nice guy who supports not nice guys.
But he wrote a blog about these. Just to review, the Michael Brown fun facts, as disastrous as we all know he was, Rich Galen writing about He writes, blah, blah, blah. He was there, I guess. He was down there for Hurricane Katrina, Rich Galen. Anyway, he writes on his blog, a bunch of other folks who came down there to help and I were sleeping on buses. Brown was staying at a hotel, but it was not a hotel which was a member of the chain in which he was collecting frequent stayer points. One of Brown's staffers spent his time and the taxpayers' money making frequent calls to the preferred hotel to try to get him in there. The FEMA command trailer was in Baton Rouge, which was largely untouched by the hurricane, being about 80 miles northwest of New Orleans. It was suggested the trailer be moved forward, that is, closer to the action. The suggestion was rejected because Brown didn't want to have to drive back to Baton Rouge every night for dinner.
Right.
Prior to Katrina, Brown was making plans to leave FEMA and return to private life. The morning after the network ran an unflattering portrait of him, he was terribly upset. The staff was focused on the recovery effort. Someone said, we have to get our arms around this thing, which Brown took to mean repairing the damage done to his reputation, not repairing the damage to New Orleans.
You've got to be kidding me.
Of course. Heck of a knob, Brownie. Heck of a knob.
I know it, he said, completely missing the point. I have three offers on the table, and they're all going to be withdrawn if we don't fix this.
Wow.
The staff in the trailer didn't risk looking at one another. Eyes were glued to computer screens and fingers began typing at speeds which Mavis Beacon would never believe possible.
And they were typing, what an asshat.
Can you believe this asshat? Clackety, clackety, clackety. All right, yeah. Thank you, Rich Galen. That's just in case you didn't already think Michael Brown was the biggest moron in the world.
I know. We'll go in front of the cameras with our sleeves rolled up. And the president will tell me what a heck of a job I'm doing. That'll be great for my career.
God. All right. Asshat number two. The head of who was this? The VP CEO Hayward. Mm. That guy. First of all, they're desperately trying to limit the financial and legal fallout. The company tried to buy off coastal residents and local fishermen hired to clean up the mess with payments and jobs in exchange for signing a waiver, promising not to sue. So Janet Napolitano and Alabama's attorney general both had decried the waivers and asked BP to stop circulating them, prompting the company to admit it had made a misstep. Yeah, I'm sure that was inadvertent. CEO Tony Hayward told the Times of London, because this is America, many of the claims will be illegitimate. The lawsuits that are sure to
They'll have no right to sue a foreign company.
On Monday, he told GMA, this wasn't our accident. This was a drilling rig operated by another company. It was their people, their systems, their processes. We're responsible not for the accident.
No.
Wow.
You know what's funny? When we went to war in Iraq and sent our troops to get those WMDs that were threatening us all any minute now, eventually all the oil in that country was turned over to four Western oil companies. That's right. Mm-hmm. Iraqi's oil is controlled by four companies. One of them is BP.
Right.
They can afford their own damn cleanup.
Operation Iraqi Liberation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. By the way, Jim, you and I talked about the BP has been touting themselves as a green company. Uh-huh. You know, you've seen those commercials with the green flowers and the spinning
solutions. We got solutions right here.
Yeah. Windmills and solar and by the way, look at all this the oil that's on off the coasts here.
Yes.
Look at the Gulf of Mexico just sitting there.
They've touted themselves as a green company interested not just in oil but in renewable energy like wind and solar. Look at the pretty spinny windmills.
We spent 50 cents.
BP barely invests anything in clean energy. Most of its green campaign is actually just a massive advertising gimmick to conceal the truth about
the
company.
That's where the money went.
And by the way, so they have offshored the dirty work of promoting expanded drilling to far-right front groups and trade associations, a PowerPoint in 2007. BP appears to have been interested in fighting to open up protected waters to new offshore drilling. The presentation calls for a five-year plan to build grassroots support to open wide swaths of both the east and west coast to new drilling in the outer continental shelf. Oh, look, some of these front groups, Freedom Works. I thought that was just a grassroots kind of...
Yeah, that started by the Dick Army.
Yes, I thought that was a citizen-based group. Hmm.
BP's a green company because that's the color your skin will be after smelling the water near your house.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yes. So anyway, Freedom Works, among others, obviously the Teabagger Group, is listed among the 60-plus association, the American Conservative Union and others, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, American Petroleum Institute. So once again, there's a lot of money and lobbying efforts going into this.
Oh, yeah.
You know that
a lot more money that went into buying, acoustic switches that would automatically shut off.
Yes.
Yeah, which they have in Norway
and
Brazil.
Yes, exactly. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, back with economist Christian Weller next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. We are in the midst of Fridays with Fuglesang. John Fuglesang in the New York Bureau with us all 3 hours.
George Reckers is 61. Let's talk about how great it is that senior homophobes are taking rent boys on trips, huh? Can we do that?
StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boyd, voice deity Jim Moore to me, Stephanie Miller, like Joanne from Boston did. Steph, who says you're not mocked mercilessly on the right? Have you ever looked at Brian Maloney's website? Is that the radio equalizer thing?
Yeah, that is.
Mm-hmm. About every third or fourth blog post is all about that left-wing radio host with a suburban American radio show and good posture. Come on, do tell what went on between you two. I'll never tell.
Why is he so obsessed with you?
Animosity between me and the radio equalizer.
You can barely tell it's you on the download.
What? Did you hear what Rush said about me this week? I don't need all the incomprehensible things he says, like I'm a babe on some days and I know what he's talking about and I don't. Then he said this.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America this morning.
We don't know what that means. I'm a suburban American radio host, apparently.
Wow, suburbans hate freedom, too?
I've started doing the farm report since he said that. I don't even know what that means.
That's rural America. That's not suburban.
Oh,
you're mowing lawns.
What does suburban mean? I don't know what it means.
I don't know, but Rush doesn't like it.
It means that you're only heard in malls.
Yeah, you're living in tract housing.
It could be that you're driving too many vans now.
A gated community, maybe.
Okay. All right. Just one of the women, millions of women across the country going, what did that guy mean by that? It's just that's why you say things, just to confuse us. Mm-hmm. What did he mean by that? And then you can discuss it for hours with your girlfriends. What did he mean?
And Rush is getting married again. You missed your shot.
Oh, damn it.
He's getting married again.
Who's the lucky girl?
Mm-hmm. Girl number four, I don't know. I'm guessing she's an enabler whose father was a monster. That's what I can guess.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I think Rush is very lucky gay people don't oppose obese, bigoted addict marriage.
All right. Listen, we have important economic business to attend to. Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire from the Center for American Progress. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I would have loved to listen more to the Rush Limbaugh discussion.
Yeah.
I'm up on the economy these days.
Yeah.
You know, you need to talk about the Dow. That's what you need to talk about. What happened yesterday? It plunged nearly 1,000 points before recovering significantly, but enough to sow chaos, of course, on Wall Street. The biggest drop was within a single trading day in Dow history, right?
Right. It's unclear what happened. I think they're still looking into this. Initially, it was rumored to be a spelling error. Apparently, that has been dispersed. Somebody wrote billions but meant millions, and that sent the Dow tumbling. Then it may have been an electronic glitch. They don't know exactly what it is. They're probably correcting for it. But the bigger story here is the Dow was still down. The stock markets have been running up and have been running ahead of the economy for a number of months now, basically mm-hmm. for a year. And everybody has been saying, like, well, the economy needs some time to catch up and to basically prove that the stock market is right about the economy. And so there's going to be this period of correction. It's essentially a wait-and-see period where the stock market is going to fluctuate for a while. And the news from Greece, which directly have very little bearing on the U.S., ultimately sent the economy into this kind of holding, the stock market as holding pattern. And so now I think the market is going to look and see, okay, well, what's really happening in the U.S. economy, and are these expectations of a strong recovery really real? And so I think people will look at the employment figures, people look at the durable goods orders, which is an indicator of investment, people look at some of the export numbers, people will look at some of the government hiring numbers. Those mm-hmm. are kind of the real economic trends, and we got the jobs market numbers.
Right. Well, I was just going to ask you about the jobs numbers are confusing. So they're good, and yet the unemployment rate went up. Can you explain that?
Right. I think we've discussed this before. We're going to have that period where the unemployment rate will at least stay high, possibly rise, even as the labor market goes up. And basically what is happening is if you look at the unemployment survey, 500,000 more people had a job in April than in March. But at the same time, there were about 250,000 people who all of a sudden started looking for jobs. So it's basically you see your neighbor, you see your friends getting jobs, and you say, like, okay, well, things are looking up. I'll better start looking again. I could start looking again. And so the good news, the hiring actually brings in people who had given up on the job market. And so that turnaround is happening. But for what is really matters for economists is actually how many jobs we're creating. And for that, we're looking at the data from what we get from the companies. And there we created 290,000 new jobs. In April, we also created 230,000 jobs in March, which was about 70,000 jobs more than we had initially thought. The numbers for February are also upward revised. So it's a really good news that we added 290,000 jobs in April. That's a lot faster than the population is growing. But we also improved we found more jobs essentially for the previous months than the data had initially reported. So that's very good news. The other part is the numbers of hours that people on average are working is also going up. That's roughly, it looks like a very small number. We're going on average from 33.3 to 33.4. Doesn't look big. That's the equivalent for adding about 300,000 new jobs to the labor market. So that's also good news. And we're adding jobs in pretty much every sector. We're hiring more janitors and more stockbrokers. We're hiring more people in construction, and we're hiring more people in manufacturing. Mm-hmm. We're hiring people in restaurants, hospitals, hotels, everywhere. So that's
So this is more, I mean, on average, what you're saying, this is more good news than bad. Even though the unemployment number went up, the number of jobs added is more important?
For at this point in the market, generally the jobs numbers, people want to be employed. They don't want to be unemployed. So what really matters is how many jobs we're adding. The unemployment number at this point is somewhat a statistical oddity it is real for the people who are looking for a job. I don't want to diminish that.
Yeah.
The really good news is that we're adding jobs. Jobs are coming in. The jobs creation is gaining a lot of momentum right now.
Christian, Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary, yesterday had this to say about the situation in Greece.
Anything that we believe has the ability to affect the global economic recovery is and should be a concern to this country.
You'll have to explain this to us lay people, how the situation in Greece is, you know, affecting the global economy and then us, and how that's going to play out in your opinion.
Well, the main thing is Greece by itself is fairly small, has a very small impact for the United States. Only 0.1% of our exports, for instance, go to Greece. So if Greece tumbles, it has no direct effect on us. But the problem is that Greece is a small part of a much larger economic zone, the European Economic Enterprise, the European Union. And what that ultimately means is the fear is that this is going to create some sort of a domino effect, that Greece is failing, that next comes Spain, Portugal, Italy, the countries that have essentially struggled with being part of the euro. For them, for the last 10 years, the euro has been more pain than gain. And what that means is that this pain is now becoming real, that Greece essentially is saying, like, look, we can't operate under this. We have to slash the government budget. We have to cut back on spending. If that spreads over to bigger countries like Spain or Italy, that can really have a real effect in terms of two things. First, we're going to be able to sell less stuff to Europe. Means our exports are going down, and that means less growth in the U.S. The other part is our banks are lending money to these countries. And
what do we export besides war, by the way? Just out of curiosity.
Lame white guys.
We export airplanes and aerospace satellites. Those are some of our big ones. But we also export medical technology and a number of other high-tech products. Mm-hmm. And we export financial services. We export loans
jobs.
And jobs. And
Christian, let me get your take on Senator Harry Reid talking about financial reform yesterday.
All you have to do is read the newspapers. You can find the Republicans are having difficulty determining how they're going to continue making love to Wall Street.
The Republicans retorted that Wall Street is just a buddy. They're not really making love to them.
It's just a massage.
What? Yeah. It's a naked massage because they can't carry their own baggage.
Them hoes is just hoes, baby.
Do you think financial reform is going to get done, Christian? What do you make of the process so far?
Financial reform is going to get done. It's never been the opposition to financial regulatory reform has never been a winning issue for Republicans because it makes them sound look rightfully so as in bed with Wall Street, and that's not another particular popular position to be in these days. So I think when you look at things that got done, the biggest sign that things will move forward is the fact that yesterday an amendment to weaken the consumer protection part of the new regulation was actually defeated with two Republican votes. Olympia Snowe and Chuck Grassley sided with Democrats to maintain the consumer protection agency as it is. And I think that's a clear sign that the Republicans are finally seeing the light. And it's like, okay, well, we got to get this over.
Good.
We got to get this out of the news. This is not good news for the Republicans hold up financial regulatory reform.
Yep. Christian, quickly before you go, what is going to be the impact economically, you know, on our economy as a whole of this massive oil spill?
The oil spill by itself won't have that much of an effect on the global economy, on the U.S. economy. It will have large effects on the Gulf Coast, especially where it hits. If you're a fisherman or fisherwoman in Louisiana or anywhere along the Gulf Coast where it could potentially hit, this could have devastating effects, the same for the tourism industry. This is not a particularly rich area. Fisheries and tourism are big industries. They could be devastated if this hits the coast in a major way. I think in the end, this just simply brings energy reform, climate change legislation to the fore, and basically says, like, look, we gotta move away from this risky proposition of depending on oil. Oil disasters, one part of the whole thing, and we're gonna see more of them because we're now beginning to explore technologically more difficult areas to reach, which means these kinds of disasters become more likely because they're it's much more experimental and much more difficult to drill there.
Yes, the president's evil plot has worked, according to our friends on the right. That's why he caused the oil spill and also made those people at Goldman Sachs commit those crimes.
Put on a suit and dove down and put an explosive charge there.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's right.
All right. Christian Weller, fancy economist guy and conspiracy theorist extraordinaire. We'll see you next week from the Center for American Progress. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye.
There he goes.
What a man, what a man, what a mighty, mighty good man.
Watch Radio Equalizer will take that out of context.
They
admitted it on the Stephanie
Miller
show that the president put on a wetsuit and went down. And
yeah, you can't take a wetsuit to 5,000 feet.
Thank you, Logic Man.
Right,
you can't
logic.
Even take one of those. Jim, you're bringing the show down with logic. Come on. I'm trying to do with science.
On the bright side, the oil slick has been offered a great HR job at Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Okay. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
We're going to rock this town, rock it inside out. We're going to rock this town, make them scream and shout.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. Carmen in Palm Beach, Florida.
West
You're on the
Palm
Stephanie
Beach.
Miller Show.
West Palm Beach. Hi, guys.
You're like, Palm Beach? How did I get to Palm Springs?
Same thing. I can't wait to hear Rush Limbaugh explain to ditto heads that we have the largest job growth in 4 years, but it's 9.9 unemployment. I can't wait to see how creative he gets.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that it's going to be something the president did wrong.
Could be.
The 9.9 he's going to blow out of the water.
Yeah.
Oh, part of his communist propaganda.
Yes.
Here's what I wanted to talk about. Obama doesn't get coverage when he does really good things like this Tennessee flooding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. CNN.
He caused the Tennessee flood? What? I didn't listen to Rush yet.
That's what they say. But anyway, Anderson Cooper mentioned two nights ago that he was lax in covering it. And yesterday he was there in Tennessee. And a couple of people on the ground, especially in Opryland, they mentioned that Obama, thanks to Obama, they're going to be able to give financing for their damages, even though they had no flood insurance, and that they thank Obama for being there. And Obama called one guy, a musician, in person, and he's been there since the beginning, but nobody is saying this.
Yep, yep. Well,
I'm sure Fox will.
Yeah, I'm sure Fox will be all over that.
Yeah.
It's all propaganda, my friends. Commie Muslim Kenyan. Atheist, Muslim, bad Christian.
We're due for another Country Music Awards next week, right? It's every other week. There's a Country Music Awards show.
Are there really?
Yes, I'm sure they'll make reference to it.
Yes.
Although they are having a telethon in Nashville right now to help the victims.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Obama got cred in Nashville, of all places. So, yeah.
Sheila in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sheila.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good, go ahead.
Great. I work in the employment field. I help people on unemployment get back to work. And I just wanted to say that the labor market is very encouraging right now. We were getting maybe 10 clients a week going back to work for a little while. And in the last 2 days, we've had between 20 and 25 go back to work. So that's a significant growth in the labor market.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's the thing, you know, you have to hope for is that we start feeling it more. Because I think, you know, you keep hearing me saying, you're going like, I don't know, feel better to me, you know, but.
Yeah, it usually doesn't feel better until you get a job. Then it feels better.
Screw everyone else. Sandy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, I was calling about the oil spill. I work at a salon in Chicago, and we have a pretty cool thing that we realized, and that's that hair is pretty absorbent and pretty buoyant, especially with oil. And so what we're doing is we're saving all the hair we cut, and we are putting it in stackings and sending it down to Louisiana. You just drop it in the water, it'll absorb it, and it would be easy to pick back out. So we were supposed to get some nice local news coverage yesterday, but I was just calling to say our salon should start doing this. It's pretty easy. It's better than putting chemicals in
there. Everybody shave their head. Yeah,
that's nice and kind of gross at the same time.
No, I saw that on the news. Human hair is great for soaking up oil.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And look at that shine.
Isn't that an old Seinfeld bit? How come hair, when it's on you, is fine? It's when it's off of you, it's disgusting suddenly. What? Who are these people?
Who are these follicles? No, but these dispersants are poisonous. They're incredibly toxic.
Exactly.
And will affect the seafood and sea life for decades.
Yeah, it's sort of like general Westmoreland environmentalism. We have to kill the ocean to save it.
Yeah.
It's just
exactly.
We won't have to use Dawn liquid to clean animals, but we will have. There will be cats coughing up hairballs all across the Louisiana coast at some point.
Because they've been drinking catfish. Because they've been drinking seawater?
I don't know. I'm not a cat owner.
What a stretch that was.
That was silly.
I'm going to need a rent boy to massage my groin after that stretch.
Hair. What goes with
hairballs? It's 29. It's Friday. I'm running out of gas. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with the latest on the New York City bomb plot and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Very smart.
That's well reasoned.
A true brunette.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. John has been practicing the long stroke on me just because I wasn't sure what that...
I have.
You know, I don't get out much, so I
have been practicing the long stroke during commercial breaks. And
that's what that is. Okay.
She is a true brunette, folks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So we mentioned the breaking news earlier that George Wreckers apparently is a...
Spit it out.
This is the guy that got the guy off of rentboy.com.
And he looks a bit like James Mason.
He does.
Just a bit, my Johnson.
With his 70s.
You said he's looking a little,
I don't know. He's looking a little haggard to me.
Hey!
Hello! Hey!
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Wow. That was good.
Okay. Yes, I missed a detail here, Chris. Earlier, so the male escort hired by anti-gay activist George Wreckers told the Miami New Times that he didn't, that Wreckers. Minister is a sexual, that paid him to provide body rubs once a day in the nude.
Sure.
Which, Jim, when
from
you hurt your back and you had surgery and you can't carry bags, that's what you do. You get
go to the
George Wreckers is George Wreckers Katrina.
Yeah.
So anyway, he named his favorite maneuver the long stroke, which I had to be explained to me and demonstrated because I didn't understand how you even, it's a complicated caress across the, well, it's the
across
thigh
the
and the
I don't.
Hole, and the butt cheeks at the same time.
Oh,
so
okay.
that is complicated.
Sure. I call it the long stroke, Lucian, because you got a swimmer's body.
he liked to be rubbed down.
There,
yes, in that area, according to the. But here was the other thing. So his original denial was that he hasn't had surgery and he can't carry his own bags, right? But I didn't see. I don't know when this was, Chris, but this is breaking news within the same story. He claimed he took Lucian to Europe to inspire him to accept Jesus into his heart and renounce his homosexuality.
Wow.
He accepted
I'm
something
not sure
else.
If that was the first story or the
else.
Second story.
Has Lucian done that, or is he still a homosexual?
Apparently not,
okay.
No.
He's accepted something into some area of his body.
Yes. But anyway, they, he originally, and then didn't he say he only found out he was a male prostitute halfway through the vacation?
Yes.
But now he's saying, no, I knew when I took him there to do the reparative therapy.
Sure. It gives new meaning to this is my body, which will be given up for you.
He is a board member, by the way, at the National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality. So maybe this is, let's not scoff. We believe in science here on the left.
He's
and
a
maybe,
method hypocrite.
Maybe it's a method by which you can rub the gay out of someone.
Yes. Well, you need to do a lot of research before you can really start healing them.
What's that?
You need to do a lot of research before you can start healing them.
Well,
it's
exactly.
Like
you have to have an understanding of what the malady is, exactly. And then perhaps the long stroke is a scientific technique whereby
and the malady
you can rub the gay out of someone.
Well, we're going to try and rub one out. We'll see. He's a method healer.
You know, but
the website might have been a clue. Huh. Rent
well,
boy? Yeah.
Yeah, rent boy. Cause
and I don't think the gay can be rubbed out through your clothes. I think you have to be naked to have it
No,
rubbed
you,
out.
No, you can rub one out through your clothes.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Rentboy.com has been getting so many hits, folks. That site's been going down all day.
All right. You know what? Let's just
what?
Go.
You brought it up.
Can I just say one more time here? Can I be preachy for 1 second and say that you cannot use the Bible to say that same-sex relationships are wrong? If you're going to believe Leviticus or Deuteronomy, you've got to believe all the laws and start killing children for disrespecting their parents. Jesus never said anything anti-gay. That was St. Paul. And the Christian thing is to love gay people, although maybe not paying
not
them
that
for
way.
It.
Yeah.
Yes,
in another drilling story entirely, at the end of March...
We don't know that.
Rasmussen found that 72% of U.S. voters believe offshore drilling should be allowed now in the wake of the massive oil spill. Support has fallen dramatically to 58%, which is still
58%.
I know, still fairly high. 23% now oppose offshore drilling. 19% remain unsure whether it's a good idea or not. Apparently, they don't have access to any sort of news information.
I just shot my eye out. I'm not sure if this gun's a good idea. Let me try it again. Oh!
19% need those flashcards to say which is ass and which is elbow.
The same 19% not sure if alcohol and firecrackers are a good idea in combination as well. Okay. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi backing legislation that would dramatically raise the liability cap for oil companies, but the proposal faces an uphill battle in the Senate. She said that raising the liability for oil companies from $75 million to $10 billion is much more appropriate. Can we get anything done in the Senate ever?
No. Not as long as checks are flowing, too.
Yeah, we were able to get the oil companies deregulated in the Senate. That was good. And coal. And Wall Street. Enjoying that? How's that deregulating thing working out for you?
So, did you see the boner is accusing the Obama administration of having no real comprehensive terrorism strategy and America's merely gotten lucky in preventing terrorist attacks?
Boner's only plan is creating more terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, isn't it really? Shouldn't it be the war on preventing terror, not just the war on terror?
Yeah, he said luck is not an effective strategy for fighting the terrorist threat. He said the Obama administration has spoon-fed the American people with bland reassurances this was just a one-off or it was just a lone wolf, none of which they've actually said. Okay, the boner.
Yes, we've been lucky, but luck is not an effective strategy for fighting the terrorist threat.
He did not offer any details on what the Republicans would do differently.
Of course not.
Well, Obama's got a great counterplan to fight back on Boner, which involves making fun of his fake tan, and that's going to be Obama's strategy. Again.
He said the White House refuses to admit the U.S. is at war with radical terrorism. I want the administration to come forward with a broad plan for how to confront this. Clearly what's going on in Afghanistan is a step in the right direction. Actually, if you're reading some reports, what's happening in Afghanistan is what caused this latest attack.
Divot, please.
What a boner.
Once again, we want to thank a Muslim American for finding the bomb in Times Square.
I know, which was reported virtually nowhere in the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Okay.
That freedom hater.
Okay. And meanwhile...
And the NRA is fighting to let terrorists buy guns?
Yep.
The NRA is fighting to allow terrorists to buy guns?
Can you believe that?
Doesn't that sort of make them against us if they're not with us?
Mm-hmm. I know. I loved Nancy Pelosi's, by the way, her comeback to the boner.
The harder we work, the luckier we get.
Yeah.
Oh, if only for that competence that George Bush brought to the table, we could have that back. The one that, oh, that's right, 9/11 happened under. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, by the way, noted douche nozzle, Senator Joe Lieberman. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, even the boner wasn't down with this latest idea. Joe Lieberman yesterday.
Shahzad is just the latest in a growing and accelerating line of cases where American citizens have supported or fought for al-Qaeda or affiliated terrorist organizations against the United States.
So, what's your point?
What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. Just on suspecting something, we should start stripping people of their citizenship.
Al-Qaeda's not even owning this guy, you know? Al-Qaeda's saying he's not one of theirs.
I know.
How bad a screw-up do you have to be as a terrorist to have Al-Qaeda deny you?
We're not with him. He's an
never
amateur.
My life.
Nancy Pelosi yesterday on the...
Something like this sounds like a good idea. I don't object to the spirit of it, but I do think it's important to know on what basis...
It's just a complete constitutional non-starter. By the way, the angel that's a senator fold, Scott Brown, got on board with this.
If they've been identified through their actions or specific statements that they no longer want to be United States citizens, well, by golly, let's help them.
Senator.
He's a senator fold. Okay, you know when even the boner isn't on your side,
that's
a really stupid idea.
I don't know how you would attempt to take their citizenship away. It'd be pretty difficult under the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow. I agree with John Boner. He must have right combination of...
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut.
That's true.
That broken clock was right once.
Exactly.
Twice. Usually.
Kevin. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Kev.
Well, hi, everyone.
Yes.
You know... I want to ask, Republicans have made a lot of predictions in the past, as you know, that went horribly, horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a lot of the pundits, with all the screw-ups and the craziness that you've just detailed the past morning, do you think they're correct that there will be this alleged huge loss in the fall, or is there going to be one more prediction, like with a certain person having the math and Sunni and Shia were not going to fight and so on, too long to list all of them? Do you think that there's one more prediction? Because
I don't know. I mean, you know, look, you know, history will say that, you know, we are going to lose seats. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have said that I think they have overstated the significance of the Tea Party movement. So far, you know, they've done a lot of nothing.
I think it's going to be a long, loud summer before we can even begin to guess how many seats the Dems will lose. But I agree with you. It's not going to be as good for the Republicans as they seem to think.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll make gains, but they won't take back any houses.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Look what's happening in Pennsylvania. So Joe Sestak, within single digits of Senator Arlen Specter, So the Pennsylvania Democratic Party is issuing, saying this would have a cataclysmic consequence for the party's ability to hold the Senate seat this fall. Polls show Sestak have cutted Specter's advantage to single digits. It may be an anti-incumbent thing. I mean, you can't get much more inside and more incumbent-y than Arlen Specter.
And Specter's trying to get the Democratic base who voted against him their entire lives, you know, to now vote for them. Sestak's got a great war hero record. He'd be a great spokesman for the party.
Yeah, and, I've always been a Sestak fan. And, you know, so they're saying, oh, we're going to lose the seat. The only person that can win the seat is Arlen Specter. I don't know about that. Some polls, I understand, in Pennsylvania has shown Sestak holding Toomey's numbers, the Republicans' numbers, down lower than Specter does in a head-to-head matchup.
Yeah.
And have you seen the ad, Chris? Sestak has a great new ad out.
Yeah.
You know, linking Specter to George Bush and Sarah Palin. The 30-second spot begins with a smiling Specter saying, "My change in party will enable me to be reelected," after clips show him holding hands with Bush and narrator intones Arlen Specter switched parties to save one job, his.
That said,
not yours.
Wow. Specter has a 50-year record of fundraising. He's got an apparatus to raise the money he needs to win this election, going back to when he concocted the magic bullet theory. Let's not forget, Warren Commission, young Arlen Specter was the one who invented the magic bullet theory.
Yeah, listen, you don't need to tell him that he showed with Jim Ward on it.
If you want to swallow that, you got to have the magic gullet theory.
But, yeah, exactly. But Sestak is a fighter himself.
Yeah.
He's
a
big-time fighter. So.
As I am, as you know by my vast military background, that Joe Sestak compliments me on.
You know, Randy, I believe that your military background...
Who is this?
26
who are you? And yet you still have to... You still have yet to correct him on this.
It's the only thing I question is judgment, thinking that I would be competent enough to handle a weapon of any kind. 46 minutes after the hour, right back.
See your long stroke.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
You people make me sick.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This is how we do it. How John Fiegel sang every Friday.
How do you do it? How do we do it?
The
long stroke?
The long stroke. That's how we do it.
Yeah. You know how we do it.
Yeah, we do it. We did that before we even knew what that was. Like, oh, that's what that's called. Okay, let's go to Richard in Huntsville, Alabama, on Joe Sestak. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Steph. You were just talking about that race. The poll, I think, it was from Quinnipiac that showed it within single digits. There's actually another poll.
It's the single digit theory, yes.
Yeah, there's a poll that just came out this morning, actually, that shows Sestak and Specter tied. I think 35% was the number. Dead even.
Wow.
Wow.
It's the zero digits theory now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the Democratic Party's starting to freak out. But, you know, I'm telling you, this is just another example, Chris, of what? Mama always being right. I've said from day one, we need a real Democrat in there. We need a fighter. And everyone's like, oh, he doesn't have any chance, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, well. And think about it. This is what the whole Democratic establishment and president in the White House behind Specter.
Yeah, and all Sestak's doing is having ads that tell the truth.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like I say, a lot of this is just a anti-incumbent fever, because we've all been frustrated with Washington, obviously. You know, and what was our biggest complaint during the health care debate is Democrats with no balls. That's, you know.
The gelded party.
Exactly.
But we're glad now. Harry Reid, by the way, I've got my new reality show. I was in L.A. all this week pitching the show. I'm doing it with Harry Reid. It's called What Does More, Harry Reid or the Human Appendix?
Uh-huh.
And every hour we see who accomplishes more in that hour. The pilot was a tie, but we're very excited for the first episode to see who can accomplish more legislatively, Harry Reid or...
You don't want to make Harry Reid mad.
Oh, no. Harry Reid, I saw him get angry once and he ripped the tassels off his loafers. It was horrifying.
Yeah.
I hate for you to see me like this. I'm livid.
Harry.
I'm
please, Harry, don't. Please, Harry, don't hurt him.
I'm going to go mad. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
All right. Celebrity stack. What the fox? So, you know, how many advertisers, Chris, has dropped Glenn Beck's show now? 123 companies. And his broadcast in the U.K. has been running without ads for nearly 3 months. So yesterday on a conference call about its third quarter earnings, Rupert Murdoch had to defend the facts that Fox is keeping Beck on.
Yeah.
One investor wanted to know how long Fox News would subsidize the show, which is filled with house ads.
Yeah.
I think Beck owes him some money.
Yeah, and he has seen his audience fall almost 30% since the start of the year.
That's interesting.
But he had a very nice Gringo de Mayo. All of Arizona did.
All right. Chaz Bono, who is officially a man and has... A judge
it's
granted
a man,
a
baby.
Request
now,
to
now
change.
We're happy for her.
Awesome. Him.
His you. His name and gender.
Mm-hmm. You go, girl.
Boy.
No.
Oh, sorry. Oh, crap.
What a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. Yes.
I could have saved her some time years ago when she crushed all the bones in my hand, shaking my hand. I could have told her, perhaps. She had missed her
and
calling.
She was eight at the time. But
yes. Now Chaz is going to move to D.C. and teach the Democratic Party how to be a man.
You remember, Chris, it was on the old nighttime show. In fact, I remember I sort of showed you my crumpled hand after she left.
Yes.
I was like, wow, that's a firm handshake.
She shook my hand, too, so I felt your pain.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, well, it was...
And you're muscle-bound.
Well, I was kind of skinny back then, though.
All right, speaking of, oh, by the way, I think it's a well-known Stephanie Miller Show lore that the skit we did back on the old nighttime show, Jesus Christ Superstud.
Oh, you're fired.
That's pretty much what got us fired.
That's right.
Hmm. Comedy Central, we're just, you know what it is? I've always been, John, a good 4 to 5 minutes ahead of my time. That's why I've been such a spectacular failure.
That's
I'm just
true.
You don't really want to be ahead of your time. You want to be exactly on time because being ahead of your time is also known as being a loser.
Yes, that's what they told Galileo.
Mm-hmm. Someday I'll be, exactly, in the lens of history, I'll be appreciated. Comedy Central has a cartoon series about Jesus Christ.
Potentially.
Yes. It's titled JC. The series depicts Christ as a regular guy who moves to New York to escape his father's enormous shadow. His father is depicted as an apathetic man who would rather play video games than listen to his son talk about his new life.
Oh,
they tried that.
JC's in the development stage.
Yeah, I tried that with the God, the Devil, and Bob, which I did some episodes for.
That's right, you did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it went away very quickly.
People are so touchy. What was the other one that got us fired, I think, at the same time? God's Wish. It was a parody of the Everybody Was Going Crazy About the Gay Jesus play here
in
New York.
That's right.
That's right.
God's Swish.
Oh. Yes.
I think it was something else in development at Fox.
Yeah, you did.
Yes.
Okay.
God's Wish. Yeah. Is that about the Pope?
Oh, dear. This is from D-listed Dancing with the Rapists.
Oh, no.
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
The.
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah.
This was maybe one flying tackle too many. NFL legend who competed on Dancing with the Has-Beens. Was arrested in New York for allegedly raping a 15-year-old.
Statutory rape. Allegedly statutory rape.
At a Holiday Inn.
Yes, yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly, a police supervisor said she was a runaway since March and there was a pimp involved. She got punched in the face. We're not sure who did it. He has been charged with third-degree rape and assault.
He is full-on denying it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Saying he never touched her. And saying he was set up by this pimp.
All right, then.
I'm sure there's a wholesome explanation for all of it.
Mm. I don't think anything good ever happens at a Holiday Inn. I'm just going to go out on a limb.
Oh, well,
there goes that sponsor.
Yeah, we're there.
That's great.
God. Oops. Stephanie.
Nothing good happens at a Holiday Inn. Don't tell Tiger Woods that. Short stay hotels are the only company he hasn't done a commercial
Kim
for.
Kardashian's ex-husband says she's a fame whore? What?
What?
That's
crazy.
Come on now.
Her ex-husband has come forward with his side of the story after divorce papers accused him of abuse were somehow leaked to the press. He claims he never laid a hand on her and that Kim slept with multiple guys, which led to their divorce.
I'm going to say it again. If O.J. hadn't killed those people, we would not know what a Kardashian is.
That's true.
That's right.
I blame O.J. for this.
I blame O.J. for this all the way.
I just remember the look on Robert Kardashian's face when O.J. won. And it was like, oh, wow, what have I done?
Uh-oh. I'm going to burn him all for that.
Crap.
I better pull my daughters out of school and homeschool them.
Yeah.
In an interview with a music journalist, Courtney Love admitted that she's a star in the sex sack because she's not pretty.
Yeah, well, she got that part right.
D-listed writing, Courtney said that beautiful women like the plastic on a fruit roll-up because they can rely on their looks to bring the orgasms.
Actually, she's right.
Courtney went on to say, pretty girls just lie there. Us girls who grew up a little more homely have to try a lot harder. When a dude finishes... On Courtney's dilapidated Roach Motel, he immediately sprints his ass to the nearest bathroom, locks the door, turns on the hot water, and runs his under it while punching himself in the eyes with a bar of soap.
Sick.
God. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour.
Push the red button.
There we go. I did the bit of a button.
Oh.
It's Fridays with John Fugelsang.
That's right. Thank you, Steph.
Thank you.
It's great to be here.
Stephanie. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Fugelsang.
That's right. It's all about you.
Can I tell you, during the commercial breaks, he's just such a fanboy. He's such a geek boy. I'm like, Joan Walsh is coming up, the editor of Salon. He's like, I wish he would follow me on Twitter.
What's the guy got to do to get a Joan Walsh to follow him on Twitter?
We will ask her.
I'm a terrific satirist.
How about all the right.
You should read my tweets.
All right, let's ask her now. Look, everybody, it's Joan Walsh, the editor of Salon.com, which has been magically redesigned.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. I follow lots of people on Twitter. Have you asked me?
I haven't, no, but I'm such a fan, Joan, that I've had a crush for such a while, and it just doesn't seem seemly to ask you to follow me on Twitter. I don't. Sometimes a boy gets shy about these things.
No, I understand. I really do. But you'd be amazed at how many people just directly ask. So I will, as soon as we get off, I will follow you, I promise.
Oh, wow.
God
shucks.
Bless you. Chris, how did we finally get Joan on? Because I pestered you. I'm like, Joan Walsh is so great. I love her on MSNBC. Can we have her on our show? And then it happened. You see, like Matt. Magic.
Yeah,
here you are.
There you go.
All right. So, Joe, first of all, you have a new look on Salon.com. Tell us about it. You did a redesign.
We did a redesign. We've been working on it for a while, and we think it's spiffier and splashier. But the most interesting thing about it is that we've kind of re-architected the site to create topics pages so that all of our good reporting on a particular topic like the Supreme Court nomination or the lovely Gulf oil spill lives on a page. You can come back there. You can go deeper. There are other resources there. And it helps with a lot of things. It helps keep people on the site. It helps display our original and in-depth content a lot better. It also helps, frankly, with the search engines and with other kinds of referrals, which, you know, everybody on the web is totally obsessed with these days. You know, you really want people to be able to find your content, not without doing, you know, dirty tricks or anything, and some people do little tricks, but by making clear that you are an authority in a certain area. It's like Wikipedia has, you know, not stolen, Wikipedia is great, but Wikipedia has cornered the market on, you know, virtually any topic. You know, if you Google yourself, which I know you never have, you know, Wikipedia, it probably comes in as the first or second entry because so many people use it. And so it's also a way to get people using our site more as a resource, which then leads to other visitors finding it.
Yep, absolutely. Well, now you brought up the oil spill, and you know, that's a perfect topic that, you know, you're kind of reporting. We really need it because, you know, you've got the CEO already saying this wasn't our accident.
Yeah. Have you ever seen such buck passing? You know, whose was it? And, you know, I noticed it's so funny that you should say that because I noticed another little piece of buck passing in the New York Times today. Daryl Issa, Republican congressman, is trying to, you know, be decent on this issue. You know, it's come out that they've been warned about ignoring regulations about shutoff valves and stuff like that for a long time, and ISIS seemed to think it was important to say the problem didn't start with, thank you, the Obama administration, we know that, or the prior administration, which, you know, they had 8 years. Maybe it didn't start there either. There were warnings going back to 1999, but they had 8 years, and, you know, it's not like they were trying. The country was run by oil men, and they didn't care. They actively discouraged this kind of regulation. So, you know, I think there's a lot of blame to go around, but the idea that Republicans and the previous administration don't share part of it is just kind of laughable.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, and I think that as more is, you know, discovered and reported on places like Ceylon, you got to look at Halliburton's involvement and exactly. I mean, they're trying to make this, as you know, Obama's Katrina, which, of course, just has no basis in fact.
None. No. No, it's ridiculous that, you know, I think the administration has done what it can. It is literally the kind of catastrophe that just got a lot worse than it was, than anybody envisioned in the first few days. In that sense, it's a tiny bit like Katrina, but the response, you know, has been quick. But frankly, it's like they really don't know what to do, which is a little bit scary when you get beyond the you know, blaming and the partisanship, even right. On my side, even I do it. You have to acknowledge that at this point, no one knows what to do. We did know some things that might have prevented it, but it's too late for those things. How we save this region is a really big question.
Yeah, I mean, and that's exactly it. Is, you know, BP, I think, in terms of, you know, that's what they say, is once this happens, there's not much you can do. But they could have, A, prevented it, and B, if they had reacted quickly, if they'd spent the money to have the, a plan in place, it would also have gone differently, right?
Right. There were reports of much, much less oil leaking out that then ultimately turned out to be true, and I don't think that was actively lying. I think they just didn't actually know, and of course they should have known. So, you know, and then we have a moron like Sarah Palin going off and, you know, talking about how they recovered from the Exxon Valdez and the lessons they learned when, you know, they're still suffering from that tragedy all these years.
And that wasn't a residential area.
Yeah, I mean, some species have never recovered still.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Probably never will. So,
Joe. Meanwhile, back in the New York City bomb plot, apparently catching somebody in 53 hours and having them sing like a bird is not considered a success, I guess, in the war on terror.
No,
we just got lucky.
He got lucky. I was watching MSNBC the other day, and real brainiac Congressman Mike Rogers actually said that the terrorist plot was a success because he got the car to Times Square. And, you know, if you've driven to New York, you can kind of see what he's talking about. But, like, how ridiculous is that? The bomb didn't go off. Vendors nearby, wonderful people, one of them a Muslim immigrant, alerted the police. The police did what they needed to do. Federal investigators did what they needed to do. And as you said, caught in 53 hours, coming clean about what he's up to.
After being Mirandized.
After my God, after being Mirandized, unthinkable. They're crazy. They're crazy.
Yep.
They will not give this man credit for doing anything right.
Oh, I know. And how about Lieberman? I mean, this is what cracks me up, is they've done something very successful, and you've got Lindsey Graham saying, we got to stop Mirandizing them, when this worked perfectly, and it means the case will stick. And now you've got Joe Lieberman with this, you know, completely unconstitutional idea of stripping people of their citizenship based on suspicion. Go ahead,
based on suspicion, you know, it looks like this guy is guilty. It looks like he's confessed. But, you know, if God forbid this thing passes, which I'm such an optimist. I can't imagine that it will, but it could. If it passes, the next person could actually unbelievably be innocent, but have this happen to them. You know, I even for Joe Lieberman, this is kind of a new low. It's just such demagoguery. That's all it is. And then he's joined by his friend John McCain, who used to care about the Constitution and used to care about people's rights because he was detained in a prison for 5 years. You know, he used to be a voice of reason on these issues, but he's joining Lieberman in this crusade. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
These are the people who invented the term unlawful combatants because they didn't want to call them prisoners of war because you can't torture prisoners of war. Now they want to go back and change the rules again.
Right. Yeah. They're going to constantly change the rules to, you know, to adapt to or to let them do what they consider the right thing in any imaginable circumstance and in unimaginable circumstances. And that is not justice. You know, this is really a case where the terrorists win if we completely deform our Constitution and our civil rights, and the civil rights of citizens. Not that I want to get on my high horse about, you know, citizenship, but it is a privilege. It is once you get it, it's a right. It gives you rights. Who are these people? And also, also, excuse me, where are the Tea Partiers? Have you seen any of them protesting this? This is unconstitutional, Stephanie. You know, they're all about the Constitution. They're not. They're not protesting this.
Yeah. Well, you know what they're protesting. There's a black guy in the White House.
Somebody told them. I know. I was hoping they wouldn't notice.
Now, John, speaking of the immigration debate, how do you think this is going to affect, you know, the midterms? Because it obviously is a very controversial. It's an emotional topic. You know, some of these polls troubling, showing that, you know, a majority of Americans support this Arizona law. Is this going to hurt Democrats or Republicans? I mean, it could go both ways, right?
You know, it could go, it can go both ways, and it probably will go both ways in different states. You know, some places it's going to increase Latino turnout and help Democrats, but in other places it may galvanize white, you know, sort of anxious white voters who will vote for the person who supports it, which tends to be the Republican. But, you know, the one kind of nonpartisan, bipartisan thing I will say about this is it really is true that the inability of Congress to reach some kind of compromise on this issue for years and years and years is at fault here. And I don't really have, I certainly don't have a magic solution. I know the president and Harry Reid are talking about how they're going to, you know, finally make this work. I don't see how they get the votes on anything. I mean, do you guys remember, it's ancient history now, but it was 2007 and we actually had a Kennedy-McCain bipartisan immigration bill.
Right. Well, and Joan, I was just going to say, the one silver lining in this poll is when you describe almost that bill exactly, the American people are for it. They want comprehensive immigration reform.
No, they do, and it's all, you know, I mean, the thing the right does is call the very painstaking path to citizenship, first just legal status for people who, you know, one of the big issues is the people who are already here illegally. Do you round them up and send them to Guantanamo? Some people say yes. Or do you figure out how to, first of all, who are they? If they've committed crimes, then you do deal with that. If they're law-abiding family people raising their kids, working, then there is a long, arduous path to first legal status. And then ultimately, if they jump through many hoops, citizenship. It is not amnesty. They get, you know, I sit and watch TV when I'm not on TV. I probably shouldn't, Stephanie. And then I talk to my TV, and it's like you hear these jerks saying, you know, they're going to get ahead in line, ahead of legal immigrants. No, they're not. They will go to the back of the line. Most of these people, you know, probably won't get citizenship in their lifetime, older ones.
Yeah, I think here's how we regain control of this debate. Right before we even start the debate, we don't call it amnesty. We call it Reaganism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Like that freedom hater Reagan.
He was such a freedom hater. My God.
Exactly. Made the government bigger, raised taxes four times, and gave amnesty.
Here's the thing I love best about this interview is I picture Joan Walsh sitting at home being a pundit even when she's not on TV. She's not really even aware whether when she's on TV or not. She just comments.
I get the full makeup on, Stephanie, and, but I wear the jammy bottoms because, you know, nobody can see. I sit there and I just shout out what I would be saying on TV. It's just, the dog loves it. The dog thinks
I need to be invited to your house at least once so I can watch that.
Let's do it together. We can both do it together. We can, you know, watch some crazy show. We can watch the Ed show and pretend we're there.
Exactly. And make catty jokes about Sarah Palin together. All right. Joan Walsh, for the love of God, please follow John Fugelsang on Twitter. Don't crush this man's dreams.
Joan, I love the new site, by the way. Do you get a lot of pressure to make it more gossipy, like a site that rhymes with Puffington Host?
No, not a lot of pressure. We, you know, we really see what we do as very, very different, right. In that we're creating, it's not that we don't do any of those stories. We do the ones that matter.
Right.
You know, we see ourselves as really a smart filter, and people don't come to us to be bombarded with every, you know, actress who's had a nip slip or, you know, celebrity.
Joan Walsh, we don't cover nip slips.
And that's why we love Salon.com.
All right, Salon.com, check out the new redesign. Joan Walsh, we love you in a way that is really not appropriate. But thank you so much for taking time for us.
My pleasure, Stephanie. I'll do it again.
All right, see you next time. There she goes. John Fugelsang wants to date her. He wants to kiss her.
Yeah, I got a Joan crush.
20 minutes. He's jonesing for Joan. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, right back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show. What? What are you pointing at me for? Oh, because I'm supposed to talk about P90X here.
Your brain's encased in carbon.
Your arm is so muscular because of P90X, I couldn't tell what you were doing. I thought you were doing arm circles.
Yeah, I was doing arm circles.
I thought you were doing plyometrics from the P90X.
You call it P90X. Chris calls it gun control.
I got to tell you, I am just about finished with my first 90 days on P90X. I look better. I feel better. I have more energy. I mean, it really is amazing.
She's healing lepers. It's amazing, folks.
Exactly. Mm. I healed a leper in the subway yesterday all because of P90X.
I don't think you did that.
Is there a DVD
for that? Bad infomercial sidekick. All right. I do P90X because I don't want to get repetitive injuries. I don't want to get bored. Every day you pop in a DVD, you get a different workout. You get a nutritional program and you get results. Take the P90X challenge with Mama. You can take it for 90 days. I have a radio exclusive in-home trial. Try it with me for the full 90 days. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. How about that there? Call now.
And return the lepers you haven't healed.
Exactly. 800-509-9FIT. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go right to StephanieMiller.com and click on the P90X banner ad. 21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
How do you spell that? Umbrella I didn't know they had umlauts in Barbados.
She's got to find a new fella. Ella.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 26 minutes after the hour. Oh, yes, I have this. Boy, the news just breaking left and right in this George Wreckers thing.
Oh, no. What happened now?
I have some more details, Chris.
Oh, good.
Religious right leader ensnared in gay travel assistant scandal threatens a lawsuit. George Alan Wreckers, the co-founder of the Family Research Council, has admitted hiring a gay man as a travel assistant. For a trip to Europe, Wreckers claims he did not know the man was gay, is threatening to sue for defamation. He aims his fire at the Miami New Times, which broke the story. He writes, if today's news story in the Miami New Times is accurate, I have been advised to retain the services of a defamation attorney in this matter. George clearly understands the penal code, and if he thinks he has grounds,
does he understand the penal code?
Because the fact is, I am not gay, and I have never been. Oh, my goodness, he's gone all Larry Craig on our ass.
He's never been gay.
Never.
Never.
I love
never.
My wife.
Let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
Not even during a long stroke? Not even during the one
wife.
Moment?
And I love the long stroke.
I'm just a straight bro who likes dudes. Check out Craigslist. You'll see what I mean.
Here's the rest of Wreckers' response to the Miami New Times, including his version of what happened in Europe, which he says both he and the prostitute agree on.
Computer says no.
No. I'm sorry. My travel assistant did, in fact, lift my luggage each time it was necessary, adding that he did not hire him as a prostitute for sexual services and explained the Christian faith to him.
He just wanted to hoist his sack.
My travel assistant called me this afternoon earnestly asking me to clarify on my website that he worked for me as a travel companion and not as a prostitute. I completely agreed with my travel assistant that it is absolutely true I hired him and he worked for me as a travel companion and not as a prostitute.
What's the name of the website? Travelcompanion.com?
No.
Rentboy.com.
That sounds a little different.
Yes. For men with lots of baggage.
Yeah.
I'll who say. Have trouble lifting their own sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, and would like some help with that.
For guys who started the Family Research Council but want a young man to call them daddy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right. Okay.
He studied under James Dobson.
Jim, you know what? I heard he was the one that wrote that part of the How to Degay Your Son by showing him your your penis in the shower.
Well, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can get a reading of that when we come back.
I think we will. 29 okay. minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God created
Stephanie Miller.
Finally, he did something cool.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. You know, if you think you have the best mom in the world, we want to hear all about it in 50 words or less. Tell us why your mom is the best. You will be entered to win a $50 Sherry's Berries gift card. Go to StephanieMiller.com. And because we give. Oh, if you go to berries.com and you order, they're the size of...
Buicks.
They're like, what's that?
They're the size of Buicks.
Yes. And they're delicious, mm-hmm. Sherry's Berries. You can go to berries.com and type in Stephanie if you're going to order, won't you? All right. Hi, John Fugelsang.
Hi, Steffers.
By the by, okay, so George Reckers, I heard, as I mentioned earlier, because he believes, I believe, in the reparative therapy.
Yes.
And specifically, it seems if the male prostitute is to be believed, it is the kind of therapy where you can rub the gay out of someone if you rub them naked enough.
Yes.
And deeply enough. Then
and rub enough of their private parts.
Yes.
Yes, you can fix them.
Yes. So anyway, but he's on the board of that whatever reparative therapy thing. And so I believe James Dobson has some helpful tips on the Focus on the Family website.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So George Reckers was an original co-founder, right, of Focus on the Family. And mm-hmm. there were helpful tips on how not to have a gay son, right?
That's right.
And now here is Jim Ward in James Dobson's voice reading the actual tips from the actual Focus on the Family website.
The boy's father has to do his part. He needs to mirror and affirm his son's maleness. He can play rough and tumble games with his son in ways that are decidedly different from the games he would play with a little girl. He can help his son learn to throw and catch a ball. I hope he doesn't become a catcher. He can teach him to pound a square wooden peg into a square hole in a pegboard. He can even take
it. Okay, I'm sorry. Back up. So that's his actual tip, is to pound.
Yes.
To have your son pound a square peg into a square
hole. He can teach him to pound a square wooden peg into a square hole in a pegboard.
That'll make sure he's...
And just don't do it into a round hole. That's a whole different thing. He can even take his son with him into the shower, where the boy cannot help but notice the dad has a penis. Just like his. Only bigger. Especially when a male prostitute's been rubbing it. No, I added that last part.
No, come on. Jim Louise, don't editorialize.
But 95% of that was as written, as it appeared on the...
Including the penis in the shower part.
Yes. The most.
Okay. All right.
I'm actually pitching George Recker's new reality show, Straight Lie for the Gay Guy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mark and Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mark.
Hi. This is
we made you giggle.
Captain of the Stephanie Miller Show. How are you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, this is what I don't get about this Arizona law. Last time I checked, local authorities had the authority, if you will, to enforce federal law. In other words, if I go to the 7-Eleven and I try to pass a counterfeit $20 bill, the guy behind the counter doesn't call the FBI or the Secret Service in order to come and arrest me. No, he calls the local constabulary. They come down, they arrest me, and they turn me over to the federal authorities. It seems to me what has happened now is Arizona has set themselves up so that they are now responsible for these people. You know, whereas before they could just round them up and take them down to the local Immigrations and Customs Enforcement office. Now they have to take them down to the local jail, the county jail, whatever, and they have to process them and pay for them and then all the other expenses that go along with rounding these people up. So it seems to me that Arizona has just shot themselves in the foot on this one, and I just don't understand why they've done it.
Yeah, well...
What do you mean? For votes? This is we don't get comprehensive immigration reform. We get comprehensive immigration theater. That's what we're seeing here.
Very good. Yes. Here's the thing. The headline is GOP could gain by raising Arizona. The new hardline Arizona immigration law has sparked talk of boycotts and caused Republicans to fret about the party's frayed relationship with Hispanic voters. May indeed pose a long-term threat to the GOP's prospect, but in the here and now, and in many of the competitive races in 2010, mm-hmm. the law appears to be a poison-tipped arrow in the Republican quiver. New polling indicates broad public support for the measure, and illustrates the peril and battle Democrats could face in November over the issue. That's the problem, is this is a play they're good at because they run it over and over again, fear-mongering, dividing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works. And nothing's going to change, folks. They will never allow illegal immigration to stop because the economy will collapse. You want to get rid of illegal immigration? We'll all get to pay $50 for a tomato. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. No one's going to stop it.
Well, people are talking about this New York Times CBS poll. 69% of respondents from the South said the law is either about right or doesn't go far enough. 66% from the Midwest said the same. Opinion more divided in the North, East, and the West. But, you know, Republicans tend to favor the law. Democrats line up in opposition. Polls show independent siding with the GOP on this. So I think it's a tricky issue. You know, somebody was saying, an analyst in the, said immigration came later to the Midwest and we have higher unemployment, so you get reaction to laws like this. When you keep playing to people's worst instincts like the Republicans do, that's going to happen. You don't have a job because of the brown people. They're going to keep, you know, but what
Bob
I was
Dylan wrote a song about it, only a pawn in their game. It always works.
Be a pawn in their game.
Yeah, but it's all about blame them and the poor white remains in the caboose of the trains.
Here's one, some new polling, though. This is what I was talking to Joan Walsh about that I think is a silver lining. 67% in this new polling support legislation that would strengthen the borders, crack down on employers who hire illegal workers, allow current undocumented workers to become citizens, and establish a new system that limits the influx of foreign workers during economic downturns. Comprehensive immigration reform, like McCain-Kennedy. Yeah, right, that's what people want, I think.
What the Democrats are pitching now only involves increased sanctions on employers. Now, the only way you're going to really stop this problem is if you start incarcerating people who employ undocumented workers.
Like everyone
who has
gardeners.
See the jobs, and they will never do it because they don't want to stop it because our economy would collapse.
Here's the problem that I don't think people realize. The Obama administration's enforcement efforts in 2009 led to the deportation of 387,790 illegal immigrants. That's a 5% jump over the Bush administration's record. In 2008, the Democrats' tough love approach to immigration aims to foster both Republican support for a bill and avoid claims that, you know, Democrats are weak on security issues, yada, yada. But for some advocates of reform, the Democrats' accommodating right turn has gone so far as becoming a liability in the fight. I mean, here we go again, right? Trying to get Republican votes. So we're,
exactly right. You know,
this one analyst pointed out what you said. Republicans have been moving the goalpost on this border security first issue for a decade. It's never enough, and it will never be enough. It's a fool's errand.
It's never going to happen. Illegal immigration, along with gay marriage and abortion, is one of the top three fundraising tools of the GOP. I get their mailings. My mom gets their mailings. They use this to raise money. They're not going to let it go away.
One analyst said the Republican Party has shifted to the right and the Democrats, in an effort to get a deal, have moved the bill to the right and it hasn't worked so far. And now you have people like Representative Louis Gutierrez, a Democrat of Illinois, frustrated with the president on this.
Now, one day he's kind of with us, the next day he's not. I mean, I wish the president would just say, I'm going to fight. I'm going to give the best fight.
Because he's saying we're going ahead now, that we're going to do this now, which he had said the opposite. So I don't know.
It's pretty hilarious. You know, I want to wish all of Arizona a happy Gringo de Mayo. And this is spreading, by the way, because now in L.A., if you're a white guy not wearing an Ed Hardy shirt, they want to see your papers.
let's go to Rob in San Francisco on the Arizona law. Hello, Rob.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to say that the person, I think that was John, that was talking about not wanting to pay $50 for a head of lettuce.
A tomato, actually.
A tomato.
That's what George Eggers does.
Yeah. That's such a short-sighted, myopic view. When
Tell
you
me.
Factor in the amount of money that's spent on things like welfare and school lunches and things like that, I think that if you would actually pay American citizens a decent wage, you could actually save all that other money that we're spending.
Well, I agree with that, but too bad we got rid of unions, huh? I mean, look, this is the jobs that no one wants. I'd love to leave my job at Goldman Sachs. I hate it, but all I want to do is do migrant farm work, and the illegals took all my jobs away.
Well, you know what? I think that's also another misleading statement. You better tell the people that do jobs like the Bering Strait fishermen or coal miners and stuff that, oh, no, doing a job like mowing the lawn is too hard for them.
My point, sir, is the only way you're going to stop this problem is to start incarcerating employers.
Yes.
And the Republican Party and the Democratic Party will never let that happen because illegal undocumented workers are the backbone of our underground economy.
Sir, I agree with you in that respect. We do need to go at it from all sides, stopping people hiring them and stopping them from coming in the first place.
This is all theater to play upon people's prejudices. And by the way, I'd love to know how an Indian feels when white people talk about illegals, okay? I personally don't believe God looks down on the earth and notices the invisible lines we draw in the sand to separate our tribes, but I understand this is a problem. NAFTA was supposed to fix this, that great bipartisan solution, and it made the problem even worse. The American political system, the two parties, will not allow illegal immigration to stop. It's too profitable. They'll do a lot of theater to get people angry and fighting each other, and nothing will change.
Unfortunately, I think you're right, sir. Thank you very much.
Well, we came to a place of bipartisan cynicism.
But it's not. I mean, it's not really, because it's not so much Democrats against Republicans. It's people against politicians. You know, it's not going to stop until you start locking up employers. Then
so
it would stop.
You're suggesting people in L.A. are going to have to start mowing their own lawns?
Oh, my God.
Dear God, that's John Finkelstein.
Get your leaf blower lessons now. Right after the Kabbalah class.
Dave in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I sort of agree with the last gentleman who called from San Francisco. You know, you guys are making too much fun of this, and you're making it too much of a simple thing, but there really are jobs that are being taken away from illegals. My brother had a masonry business here, wanted to pay a decent wage, wanted to pay people $15, $19 an hour with health insurance, but he can't do it because he's gone out of business because his competitors hire illegals from Mexico who work for $30 a day with no insurance and no unemployment benefits. And God help you. None of you have ever worked with your hands. I can tell that.
You don't need to get nasty, Mr.
Real work, and you've never had an employee who worked for you who filed a medical claim with the state of California. God forbid you should ever have to deal with California's paperwork.
Okay, let's back off you're making a generalization.
To hire people from
Listen, I know because I was my Republican parents' cheap labor. I had to clean out window wells of not just leaves but also mud and earthworms.
Look, we're not disagreeing, sir. If the Republican Party was serious about it, they would start locking up people who hire undocumented workers. They're not going to do it because they know the economy would collapse, okay? This is a problem with capitalism that we have here. It's not a left or right problem.
But I don't think the economy, I think that's overblown. I don't think the economy will collapse. And I think the first step is better border enforcement, which is what the federal government is supposed to do and hasn't done. And that's why Arizona is making this political stand.
The only way that you're going to make this not have the economy collapse is if the rich become less rich. And I don't think you're going to see that happen. Did he hang up?
I don't know. I think the important thing is Jim Ward did not get the nickname Squeezy McField Pants for nothing. To imply that someone on this show has not worked with his hands. I think it's really out of bounds. 46 minutes after. Jim Ward invented the long stroke. 46 minutes after the out. What? Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller Radio Show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 51 minutes after the hour. Oh, Monday, what a show. The Rude Pundit, Eric Bollard of Media Matters for America, and Katrina VandenHeuvel of The Nation.
That's right.
It's a liberal media elite explosion.
Three-way of my dreams.
Mm-hmm. Will she wear her black leather jacket?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
I want to join that.
You nation. With Joan Walsh today, and you, Squeezy.
Did you see that Joan Walsh finally started following you on Twitter, John?
Yes, I do. My life's complete
now. What did she
now.
Say? What did she say?
That I strong-armed her into it, and now she'll follow me. So, I have followers.
It's women like a guy that takes control. She wants it.
I'm a tweet on you, baby. I'm a tweet all over you.
Joe in San Diego. Hello, Joe.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to say that if somebody here where I am in Southern California would like to get a part-time job or something, and if you're not Mexican, you can't work.
That is absolutely not true.
I don't think it has to do with being Mexican. It has to do with what amount you're willing to work for.
Well, they don't want to pay minimum wage. They want to pay somebody lower than minimum wage.
Exactly.
So if you were willing to work for minimum wage, then you really can't work because they're wanting to pay you lower than minimum wage to somebody that's coming over the border.
No, you're. It's right. But look, illegal immigration is not the problem. It's the symptom of the problem.
Right.
Okay?
I agree.
Yeah.
So I think that's why people don't. They say, hey, see those people? They're not supposed to be here. And they go, they're not supposed to be here. They're not legal. You know, they want to change the law and say, it's okay for you to pay people below minimum wage that are non-citizens.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, John. Like you're saying, it's not okay.
It's not okay.
It's against the law, but that's the problem. They're not enforcing it.
When Washington gets serious about solving this problem, they will start incarcerating employers. Until then, it's all theater, folks, from both parties.
Wally in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
How are Focus on the Family and Walmart similar?
How?
Young boys' pants half off.
I thought you were going to say they had a lot of baggers. That too.
Let's go to Ross in Los Angeles. Hi, Ross.
Hi, Stephanie. Good to be on your show. First of all, I'm a lesbian trapped in a man's body. And
my people.
The official one of the Stephanie Miller Show.
But my last name is Romero, and I have a Spanish surname, but I have my other side of me, the German look, and I look German. But I've lived in L.A. for 50 years. My ancestry goes back to the Spanish Inquisition.
So you don't mind being asked for your papers because it's part of your German genetics? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, but to reduce the native people, and I don't even consider myself a native, even though I have this 500-year history or 400-year history, but to reduce the native people to calling them illegal aliens is criminal.
Oh, I know. No, I hate that. Yeah. Illegals. Like,
ask
you know,
an
they're
that,
human
that.
Beings. You know, it's a way to dehumanize people.
Well, white people are the original illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I was going to make a point. We were talking earlier about the New York City bomber. I saw one security expert on TV completely the opposite of what the right is saying. They said we're almost a victim of our own success that we've so thwarted their ability to do spectacular attacks. They said the unfortunate thing, there might be more of these little, like, you know, guys that buy the wrong fertilizer and leave the keys to the getaway car and the bomb car. And
I hate to say it, but if these guys would just hire a decent astrologer, they'd know you don't set off a bomb when Mercury's in retrograde.
Right.
Exactly. You know things would go wrong, technically.
I want to give props to the NYPD for stopping a bombing in New York City on Saturday night. Too bad they weren't at the correspondence dinner.
Hey. Hi. Oh, by the way, so Eric Cantor has been one of the many out there saying the Obama's foreign policy is naive and blah, blah, blah. So you remember they had Eric Cantor had that magical rebranding of the Republican Party?
Right.
That started at the pizza parlor with the free twisty bread was their biggest idea?
Yep.
That's kind of been suspended.
Oh, like the Bush Mars mission?
So no more twisty bread?
This was it was the effort to revive the image of the Republican Party. Though Cantor and other Republican leaders promised the organization would listen to the American people, they had the one town hall at the pizza parlor in Arlington, Virginia.
Great, but Michelle Bachmann ate all the crazy bread.
Before largely going silent.
Who has bread with pizza?
Today, Roll Call reports that the group has officially been put on ice. Cantor aides explain the group has been suspended 1 year after its splashy launch, in part because of the intense negative attention it received. Democratic campaign committees and other groups. Isn't that too bad? The Cantor deputy chief of staff claimed that his group was thwarted because it dominated the national media so effectively that liberals in and out of Congress, including the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, attacked it. So we're taking our twisty friends and going home.
Someone call the wambulance.
Wow.
Crew filed an ethics complaint against them for using official House resources for political purposes. Yeah. That's
hot.
Plus, I got a bit of pepperoni stuck in my Adam's apple.
All right. Speaking of Homeland Security, you know that and their fancy airport screener scanner things, Jim?
Yeah, where they can see all of your junk.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Apparently they can because some TSA screeners got in a fist fight after making fun of each other's penis size.
Yeah.
Anybody? Guess they were drinking after work and walking through the scanner. Perhaps the new airport body scanners are a bit too revealing. A TSA worker in Miami was arrested for aggravated battery after police say he attacked a colleague who'd made fun of his small genitalia after he walked through one of the new high-tech security scanners.
Have you watched
during a recent training session?
Have you watched color negatives of those things? It's like, you know, Penthouse. It's an incredible
The myth of privacy.
The myth of privacy.
Well, I feel exactly.
And
I
imagine,
feel safe.
You know, leering over pictures of your 13-year-old daughter. You know that they.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, well, at least my 13-year-old daughter can't bring lip gloss on a plane, and I feel much safer.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I feel safer now that this woman has been arrested. An associate judge held Jennifer LaPenta, who was wearing attending a hearing in a friend's case, in contempt of court for wearing a T-shirt that reads, "I have the see, so I make the rules."
I have the female genitalia.
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wow.
The judge asked if she thought her shirt was appropriate. LaPenta said she told the judge it would have been inappropriate if she'd been the defendant.
Oh, well.
Well, then.
So there, judge. Suck on that.
Wapner likes.
All right. That's it for us. John Fugelsang is going to Haiti.
I'm going to Haiti next week with Jennifer Rawlings to perform for the U.S. troops on the relief mission there. Yeah.
Oh, good for you. JohnFugelsang.com to find out information about all things Fugelsangian. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. We will see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.